If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Psalm chapter 32? How many of you love the Psalms? Only one person loves the Psalms. That's sad. You guys love the Psalms? They're wonderful. It was actually, as I was praying through the Psalms, that is when I heard the Lord say, "That is who you are. You are dwelling house." I was praying through, and David was writing the psalm, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Notice this now. Dwell in the house. That's when the Lord said, "That's who you are. You are dwelling house." And I never wanted to change our name out of compulsion. We don't want to do that. We don't want to change our name just because we're in a new building or just because it's a new season. We want the Lord to give us a name. Amen. Because really, a name is a prophetic statement. And I'm not going to go too much into this, but it's a prophetic statement that every time we speak the name, every time you speak your name, how many of you know your guys' name has a meaning? Did you know that? Right? So when we named, so when Susie and I named our children, and many of you have done this as well, you not only come up with a name you like, you look at the meaning of the name. Right? What does the name mean? Because every time you speak a name, you're prophetically declaring, this is who you are. Right? And so when we have a name and when the Lord gives us a name, how many of you know that is a meaningful thing? Because we are partnering with the Lord in the prophetic to declare the things of God over someone or something. And so that is when the Lord spoke to us that you are dwelling house. But he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. How many of you know that's the heart that we have here? That when we're singing worship and we're bringing our worship to the Lord, that how many of you know that's not just singing songs? Although I think, you know, people come in and they just assume that, they're doing their singing time. It's a kumbaya time. No, this is a time where we worship the Lord, and in response to our worship, the Lord opens our eyes to see him in his glory. If you've not encountered the presence of the Lord, I'm telling you, it is available to you. Somebody say amen. Jesus didn't just die on the cross so that we could have an eternity with him. He came so that we could be in relationship and come into his presence by the blood of Jesus. All right. That's the sermon before the sermon. Psalm 32, starting at verse 1. Let's read this together. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." You know what? Actually, let's do this out loud. Can we all read this out loud together? All right, ready? Go. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the mule or the horse or the mule, which have..." Okay, can we start that one over? Verse 9, we're almost done, sorry. "Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Amen. Somebody say amen. Thank you for reading that together. Isn't it good to fill the house of the Lord with the word of the Lord? All right. I love this psalm because it's a beautiful psalm that really takes us through the progression of our salvation. And the psalm starts off, and we see that there is this journey that when we start off, we see how we hold on to our sin. When we don't confess our sin, when we hide our sin, we can actually feel it in our bodies. That there is a weight and a guilt and a shame that comes when really we do things that we know we're not to do. The Living Bible says it this way, I acknowledge the Lord, and until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them, I said to myself, I will confess them to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Is there anyone here who is grateful for the Forgiver? Yes. He's so wonderful. Yeah, amen. He's so wonderful. And Scripture teaches us that God takes our sin and separates it from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, when we talk about things like this, when we talk about maybe our old ways, our old habits, maybe some of you are stuck in sin, or you carry the guilt of shame and bondage, maybe some things are coming to your mind. And when I say that he separates your sin as far as the east is from the west, it almost sounds too good to be true, right? It sounds like, how is that even possible? But I'm telling you, there is nothing more true. Not only is it not too good to be true, it's not too good to be true, but it is too good for this world. It's too good to be of this world. His grace is not of this world. It is a supernatural love, a supernatural grace that gives us life with him forever. And so it's not too good to be true. It is too good to be of this world. It's too good for us to figure out his grace. It's too good to make sense of his grace. It's absolutely holy and heavenly grace, and grace alone. And it is the work of the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. Scripture says he takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. How many of you know there is no bounds to that statement? Scripture also says that he throws our sin into a sea of forgetfulness. And when we're talking about water baptism, that's really what we are celebrating, and that's really what we are joining in celebration with the one who is being baptized. That our sea is thrown into a sea of forgetfulness. When we bring our sin to the Lord, how many of you know he actually has chosen to forget it? Now, God is not dumb. He doesn't just forget. He's chosen to not remember it because of what Jesus has done. And when we say he throws our sin into a sea of forgetfulness, as we see these water baptisms, as we see them take place, let it be a reminder to you that if you have given yourself to the Lord Jesus, he remembers your sin no more. Amen? Isn't he wonderful? That it really is just that free. And so today, we are witnessing a declaration of faith, a declaration that is more real than you could ever imagine. This isn't just a religious habit, this is a holy moment with the Lord. A decision to be water baptized is a decision to leave everything else behind. You're literally declaring, I am no longer the Lord of my own life, and it's his way from this day forward. In other words, our opinions get buried in the waters. Our worldly thinking is to be buried in the water. Old thinking, selfish desires, the lust of the flesh is all to be left behind in the waters of baptism. You see, those things that try to destroy you, the sin, the guilt, the shame, those things sting. And no matter how we try to justify it, how many of you know sin causes shame? And we can try to turn our back on it, we can try to turn our face from it, but how many of you know the Lord came to remove our shame? Water baptism is an encounter with God. The word baptism means to be thrust into or to be plunged into. In this case, we are baptizing in water, but it's not the water that saves us. It is Jesus who saves. And Jesus has given us what we call is a sacrament, or that which is sacred. How many of you know, like communion or like marriage, it is a gift that has been given to us that is holy to the Lord. So this is not just a religious moment. This is a gift from the Lord Jesus himself. And what did he say? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we gather together and we witness these water baptisms, how many of you know we are witnessing the fulfillment of the Great Commission? Isn't that what we've been praying for? That we would see lives change, that people would give themselves fully to the Lord and to his love. And so today, the Lord will use water as a holy substance to accomplish his work. And so we're going to have a water baptism. Lori will be getting baptized today. Can we say congratulations to Lori? And this would be my charge to you. That you would go into the water expecting the Lord. That this isn't just a golden ticket, that this is even more than just obedience, but that the Lord has reserved a holy moment for you today. Amen. Go in expecting the Lord in faith, with hunger, and expecting the Holy Spirit to come upon you in power. You know, the waters of baptism, they serve as a massive sword. Some of the early church fathers wrote, the leviathans, the monsters, die in the waters of baptism. In other words, demonic power gets broken off our lives in the water of baptism. And so today, whatever holds you dies in the water. Today, we're also going to be praying for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. We're asking the same wonderful Holy Spirit who hovered over the waters during creation, who came upon the waters and parted the Red Sea at the deliverance of God's people in the book of Exodus, who was personified when Noah released the dove from the ark while floating on the waters. How many of you know? Noah rested on an ark made of wood, which was represented Christ crucified, and released a dove that would bring back an olive branch, which represents the peace of the Spirit. From a window on the side of the ark, just like Jesus released blood and water from his side, and the church was born. That same Holy Spirit will come upon these waters and you. It's the most glorious thing and the most holy thing. This is what John was speaking of when John says to the disciples in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, talking about Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John is saying, listen, I can put you in the water, but there is someone alone who is qualified to thrust you into the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying that in a similar manner, as Lori, as your body goes into the water, that you are plunged into the depths of the Spirit today. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not only do you come out of the waters free, we're going to be praying that you come out healed and whole, and that you would come out anointed with a new power and a revelation to set captives free as you yourself have been set free. 1 Peter 3:21 says, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, the water does not bring salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is what saves us. Amen? However, Scripture does say that in water baptism, our conscience is dealt with and it is purged and made clean. In water baptism, we are buried with him and raised with him. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so again, our faith is not in the water. Our faith is in God who raises the dead, the one who raised Jesus from the dead. I heard a quote once that said, "The ruined life is not to be enhanced, but to be replaced." And isn't that so true? That at one point, all of us were born into this world. Scripture says, "For all have sinned and fallen short." And we had what is called a ruined life. How many of you know Jesus did not die on the cross and give his life to make your life better? He died on the cross and gave his life so that his could become yours. Scripture says that in him we are a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, all things are new. He gave himself fully, and he gave his righteousness to become our righteousness. It is such a powerful thought to consider that when Jesus gave his life on the cross, all sin, all shame, sickness, death, the punishment of sin was nailed with him on the cross. What a powerful thought. And scripture says that he took our sin and nailed it to the cross, and he took his righteousness and he gave it to us. Scripture says he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Jesus literally became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That means that when you hear the whispers in your ear, it's never going to change for you. You're not good enough. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because if you've given yourself to the Lord, not only has he given you the strength to overcome all temptation, when the Lord looks at you, he sees you through the lens of Jesus, and you are righteous and holy. What a wonderful filter. Amen? You guys know those Snapchat filters that take away all the blemishes and all the skin? When God looks at you, all the blemishes and all the filth and all the gunk, I'm focused more over here right now, right? All of it is removed. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. It's not about what you did last night. Bring it to the Lord. It's not about what you said. It's not about the things that you've done. Bring it to the Lord. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. He's paid for it at the foot of the cross. All right, in water baptism, you are being baptized into the church, into faith, and into the body of Christ itself. Ephesians 4:4-6 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." In water baptism, your old life is washed away. Acts 22, verse 16 says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." How many of you know scripture says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found"? There is a plan of the adversary that says you will always have more time. That you don't have to get it right today, that you don't have to get right with the Lord today, that there will always be tomorrow, but tomorrow is never guaranteed. It is never guaranteed. And how many of you know tomorrow is also here quicker than you can imagine? We seek the Lord while he may be found, meaning when you come into an atmosphere of worship, when you encounter the Lord and you're crying out to him and you sense that he is calling you to himself, you better take it upon yourself to respond to the Lord in that moment. Because you might not have a heart that is ready to receive him down the road. How many of you know the heart is a wicked thing? The world says follow your heart, but scripture says the heart is evil above all else. Because we cannot know it, we cannot tame it. So we don't trust in our heart. We trust in the Lord. And so we must give ourselves fully to him. Amen? I'm going to invite us to stand, and I'm going to have Lauren come up. Lauren is, can we just thank Lauren for filling in this morning? She's going to sing a song that she sang when she tried out or auditioned. We do auditions. You can say thank you. All of us can sing to the Lord a new song, but when we're on stage, we want the good singers. So we got... Amen. But she was just sharing that this was a song that was kind of an anchor for you when you rededicated your life and was baptized. And she's wearing the shirt that she got baptized in. Pretty sweet, huh?
Full circle.
Oh, yeah. So let's go ahead and stand. What we're going to do. Many in the early church could not read. And so they would have stained glass windows like this. And it would tell the gospel story, and it would tell the stories, and people would rehearse them in their minds. They couldn't remember word for word, but they could remember the story. But there was also these statements of faith that were almost like a chorus. And they called them creeds, but really what a creed is, it is a declaration of faith saying, this is what I believe. And we're going to say the Nicene Creed, and it is a creed from the early church, but it's a creed that I love. But it is the preaching of the gospel, and where it says in the end, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That word Catholic does not refer to the Catholic denomination. That word Catholic means whole. Or entire church. How many of you know we just read that it is one church, there is one spirit, there is one baptism, all right? So what I would like for us to do is let's all declare this and let's read this out loud together. We're gonna have it on screen, but let's say this loudly, loud enough for the person next to you here, and let's say it in faith. And so let's go ahead and get that first slide up for the Nicene Creed. Can we make sure that's up before we get started? There it is. All right. Ready? Go. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him, all things were made for us and our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands, and we're just going to begin to worship, and we're going to have the lyrics on screen, but let's just lift our hands to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. Just begin to thank him in your words. Just begin to say thank you for your love. Talk to him. The Lord is here. And sometimes we say, how do I talk to the Lord? Well, we talk to him just like we talk to anybody. Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, that you've taken my sin, that you've taken my shame, that you've taken all guilt. Lord, we worship you today. We worship you today. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, how high would I climb mountains if the mountains were where you hide? Oh, how far I'd scale the valley if you grace the other side. Oh, how long have I sees to where they rise against a rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, you're neither more or less inclined. I would search and stop and nothing. You're just not that hard to find. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same. Oh, kindness extend apart from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. Oh, how fast would you come running if just a shadow me through the night? Trace my steps through all my failure and walk me out the other side. For who could dare ascend that mountain, that valleyed hill called Calvary? But for the one I call Good Shepherd, who like a lamb was slain for me. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the islands and the heartache all the same. Oh, whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains wherever I stand. And if ever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent, my song of ascent. Oh, my song of ascent, oh, oh, oh. From the gravest of all valleys come the pastures we call grace, a mighty river flowing upward from a deep but empty grave. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows, no less faith faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
Lori, can you come up? You guys can be seated. Can we welcome up Lori? This is Lori, and Lori is going to, do you have your paper? Did you want to do that now? Yeah, she's going to share with us a little bit about her reason for being baptized and just kind of what the Lord's been working in her.
Okay, I was saved at a young age, and through the years, I always felt like something was missing. I grew up a pastor's daughter, and I was a stereotypical pastor's daughter. Anything that I could do wrong, I did. But during the church weekend, I was the perfect Christian. You look at me and wouldn't think anything differently. But during the week, I lived just like the world. I lived this way for many years, and it wasn't until my husband of 20 years handed me divorce papers that my life came to a screeching halt. I knew something had to change. I remember falling into my knees and crying out for God to change my husband, but he stopped me dead in my tracks and lovingly showed me what I had become. I looked so much like the world that I had stopped looking like him. I realized that the one thing that had been missing in my life was a relationship with him. Sure, I had prayed and made that commitment to him, but it wasn't a total heart change and surrender. So from that day forward, I began to live a loving surrender relationship with my Savior and my best friend, Jesus Christ. Oh, in the meantime, he restored and changed our marriage into something better than we had ever expected. But that's a whole nother story of his faithfulness and mercy and grace that I'd love to share with you if you ever want to hear more. So now fast forward to 5 months ago. Sorry. I was living life and feeling good, except for some nighttime wheezing, so I decided to go to the doctor to get it checked. After it was done, the words that came from her mouth rocked me to the core. You have stage 4 cancer. In a matter of moments, I felt like my life had stopped turning, and it was forever changed. It was then, in that very moment, that Jesus stepped in and met me in this grief. He didn't change the diagnosis, but he changed my heart and perspective and gave me joy despite the cancer. I now can say that I have more joy today than I've ever had in my whole life. He is healing me from this, not only physically, but more importantly, he's refining me. During this time, it wasn't until this time, actually, that I realized I had an overwhelming and sometimes paralyzing fear and anxiety, so much that it hindered me from the life that he had had for me and stopped me from ever doing what he was asking me to do. It was then that I fully began to realize the bondage that the enemy had me in since I was a young child. In one moment, he healed me of that fear and anxiety as soon as I confessed and surrendered it to him. I can't even describe the burden that was lifted as he healed me from this. If it weren't for that moment, 12 years ago, when I was face down on the floor with him, would I ever be where I'm at today? I needed that full surrender and relationship with him to accept what I was going to be looking at with my health, and to remember the refining and embrace it that he was doing in my life. It's not a question of whether we're going to face tough times. It's who we turn to in those tough times that matters. You can turn to the world and get temporary peace, or you can turn to a Savior who will gently and lovingly walk you through your trial and pain and has promised to never turn away. It took 2 really tough situations for me to get to this point where I'm at today. Don't wait until those tough times come to change. Do it today. There's such beauty in a relationship with him. And it's more than just a prayer commitment. It's a covenant with a holy God who loves you with a love that you can't even begin to imagine. Sorry. He wants to walk you through the tough times, heal the areas that are broken, carry you through the devastating times, and walk and laugh with you through the joyful times. One verse that helped me through these darkest times is a very simple one, but it's John 6:68. In the scripture, Jesus is teaching about being the bread of life. The people listening didn't understand, and they began to grumble, and many of his followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. So Jesus asked a simple question of the 12 if they were going to leave also. And Simon Peter's response was beautiful. Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. It's that first part that gets me. To whom should we go? Would we go? It's that reminder that I've needed so many times in life. Why would we ever go anywhere else but to him? He is the answer for every single thing we face. I don't know my future and what it holds, but I completely trust the one who holds my future. So with that being said, Pastor Jay hasn't asked me yet why I want to be baptized, but I'm
go for it.
In advance. It's because the Holy Spirit has been pressing upon my heart to be baptized since I rededicated my life 13 years ago now. I've always had an excuse, and that excuse was fear. So today, I want the world to know what God has done in my life and is healing me from. Not only is he healing me from this cancer, but from the fear that has stolen my joy and peace. The enemy has no more hold on me in this area, and I ask to be baptized and share with my church family what he has done in my life.
Before we do the water baptism, I'm going to invite some of the prayer team that we to come forward, and the people. Yeah, And you know, just a couple weeks ago, we had our teaching out of James chapter 5, where it says, "Let if anyone is sick, let them call on the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on the sick and anoint them with oil, and they will be healed." Amen. And that is a part of, probably a part of this prompting, but how many of you know we serve, the Lord we serve is the God who heals, amen? Yeah. And we're praying not just for healing in eternity, we know that that is a promise for every single person here, that for all of us we'll have a new body where there will be no pain, no suffering, but we're praying for physical healing. Scripture says, by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And I'm reminded of, you know, when the lame man came to Jesus and he said, you know, Jesus, if you're willing, right? And Jesus said, I am willing. And I think we often underestimate that God wants us to be healed probably more than even we want it, you know? So we invited some people, we're going to just lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. I told Lori, we do this coming out of the water too, so she's going to get a double anointing. But the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And we're inviting the power and the move of the Holy Spirit, and we are saying, Lord, we are putting you in charge of this.
Yes.
Let your righteous rule be done. Let your kingdom come. So you guys want to just gather around. Lori, if you can just step forward so we can get around you. And then we whoever's praying, if you could take the mic just so everybody can hear. Because church, how many of you know we're a family? Amen.
Yeah.
And scripture says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So can we carry this burden together, and let's extend our hands. Scripture says, extend our hands, and let's pray a prayer of faith and in agreement. In fact, let's stand, and let's do this. And let's just begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then you guys can go ahead and pray as you're led. No, not yet. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lori, as I was woken this morning, I was reminded of what our Savior does for the one, how he goes after the one as he goes after the what is lost. And I was reminded of the great love he has for you as the one, that today you would be the one that we would as a church come around and surround our attention to and come in agreement with the healing power of Jesus for the one, that he has set this time aside for the one, that his love for you, as you just testified, is so great, that there is as much space as you we can take up with the service regarding one, and that he would go after you, and that he's going after the one, after the one, after the one, so that all would come to know him in greater capacity, in his great glory, in his great salvation, in his great hope. And so God, we release right now in Jesus' name. It says that you celebrate when the one is found, the great length that you go after, that you leave the 99 for the one. And so today, Lord, as we come together, we come and pray over this one, Lord, your one who is not lost, one who has been found, but one who is in need of your miraculous glory and power to move freely in her life, from the top of the head to the soles of her feet. Lord, we come in agreement with your word that says by your stripes that she has been healed, that there would be healing on this lifetime, God. We contend and we thank you for what you have been doing. Lord, we thank you for how you have been how you've been holding her up, how you have been sustaining her, how you have been her strength. God, we thank you that in these moments as she has testified in the deep valleys, in the darkest places, Lord, that you have been found, that she continues to find you. Lord, we thank you for the continued freedom, that there is nothing, there is no cancer that has a hold, there is no fear that has a hold, there is nothing that holds back, but Lord, we continue to release the faith to contend for her healing, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you that you have brought her in this place, in this time, that none of this is on accident, that we would be a church that would humbly get to come alongside and mourn, to humbly come alongside and rejoice, God. What a great honor it is to have her part of our congregation in this season, Lord. Not the season before, not the seasons before, not just that, but Lord, we thank you that in this season that you've called her to be a part of this church, that we would hold her, that we would pray, that we would contend in faith. Lord, we thank you for the honor to steward these people, to have a place and to speak and to pray in faith over the things that you want to do.
Lord God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the power and the authority that he gives us through him. We pray for Lori today. We command the cancer that's in her body to come out now, to leave her body. We command Satan to stand away. We command our faith to just take over, Father. We come together in agreement. This whole church, this whole body comes together in agreement for the healing for Lori. She will be healed today, Father, in your name. We claim it. We just expect it, Father. And we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, amen.
When I was seeking the Lord about today, I felt, Lori, that he said, he is happy to remind him of his promise that we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those were the words of Jesus. That's his promise. That's more than a promise. That's his benefit that he paid for, that he wants us to. He so loves this moment that you, his daughter, Lori, are coming to him and saying, I receive what you've done for me. That is exactly what he wants his children to do, and it pleases him that you are here, that we have a chance to do what he said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. And so, yes, I agree. We loose the Lord's healing power throughout your body. We command that the power of God annihilates every unhealthy cancer cell and floods Lori's body instead with health and healing and wholeness. A great testimony to the Lord. We've sung about that this is all for the Lord to show how good he is, how good it is to be a daughter of God. That's the testimony he wants, and that's the testimony we are claiming right now with Lori in Jesus' name.
Lord God, I thank you so much for bringing Lori to our congregation. She has been such an inspiration for me. I see so much strength in her. And Lord, I know that strength comes from you. Lord, I've seen many miracles worked, not only in my healing, but in healing in others I have known. And so, Lord, I know that I can come to you, and whatever I ask, that it will be given when it's given in faith. And so, Lord, I am praying in deep, deep faith that you are going to heal Lori right now. You are going to bring healing to her. I'm so grateful and honored to be able to see this baptism, to hear her story and testimony about how excited and how she's changed is wonderful, and I think that's an inspiration to all of us. So, Father, I pray that you bring the Holy Spirit upon her. Don't let her know that she is going to be healed, and we're going to see powerful miracle work here.
Dear Lord, we thank you for Lori. We thank you for you bringing her to our congregation. As Ann said, she has been an inspiration for all of us. Lord, you are the ultimate healer, and we ask today that you heal Lori's body, take the cancer, wash it away. As she's baptized, as she rises out of the water, she will feel refreshed, clean, and rejuvenated. Lord, we ask this. We know that you will provide this. And we thank you for everything you have given all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
It into this body, Lord, into Lori right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare by your stripes she is healed. Lord, your word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And Lord, we know that tough times come, but Lord, we can fix our eyes on you, we can put our trust in you, and we can give you thanks. Lord, we pray you in the highs, we pray you in the praise you in the lows, but Lord, you are worthy of it all, and we rest on your goodness today in Jesus' name. We all said amen, church.
I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the list, tell me where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is.
You can come in the water.
The highlands and the heartache all the same.
Church, can we extend our hands and just continue to pray? Let's keep this an atmosphere of prayer and worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill this house. Come and fill this place, Lord. Lord, that you would flood and invade every thought, Lord. That you would break down every wall, every sickness, every disease, Lord. All guilt and all shame, Lord. You are the name above all names.
We put our trust in you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Lori, have you given your life to Jesus? I think we already settled that. And do you reject the world, and do you reject the devil?
Absolutely.
And do you give yourself fully to Jesus today? Then we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and fill her, Lord, to overflowing in Jesus' name. Lord, you said, Lord, I will send my helper, and he will baptize you. He will come upon you, and you will receive power. Lord, we thank you, Lord, Lord, that you are not a dead God, but, Lord, you are a God who is full of life, full of power. And, Lord, we just release that in the name of Jesus, Lord. Put a fire in Lori's heart, Lord. Put a fire in her mouth, Lord, that she would declare your promises, Lord, that she would stand on your word, and, Lord, that you would be glorified in her and through her. Fill her, Lord, with your spirit to overflowing. In the mighty name of Jesus, come upon her. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can we just give the Lord thanks this morning? Thank you. Let's go that way. Thank you. And let's go ahead and sing that chorus again. And can we all sing this out loud? Let's stand and let's worship the Lord. Say, I will praise.
I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
Can we do that one more time?
I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. I will praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadows. No less faithful when the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands and the heartache all the same.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your work. We thank you for your precious blood that washes us, that cleanses us, that heals us, Lord, that frees us from the bondage of guilt and shame. Lord, that we would always have our eyes fixed on you. Lord, that we would always have joy in our hearts, Lord, because of the treasure we found in you. Lord, that we would be people who give thanks and glory and honor to you. Let us not be silent, Lord. Let us not be ashamed. But, Lord, let us be filled with glorious wonder. Let us be filled with awe of the love that you've given us, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I want to encourage us all here, just kind of from Lori's testimony, that the measure of our life in Christ is not found in our church attendance, but the measure is the work that he is doing in us. That it really is about a real relationship. And so often sin will try to get us to hide in the dark places. That's how it's been since the beginning of the world, that when sin comes, we hide in the darkness. And we find our home in the dark places. It's our natural inclination to cover up sin.
But the Lord has paid for our sin, and he has given us his righteousness. And Scripture says, if you confess your sin to the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And friends, I want to encourage you, seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, if you've not given your life to the Lord Jesus, the time is now. And so I'm going to ask, with every eye head bowed, with every eye closed, if you are here today and you have not said yes to Jesus, if you've not given your life to him, which means that you're choosing to follow him, you're choosing to do it his way, and you may not know all the answers, you may not know fully what that means, but the Lord will teach you those things. The first beginning step is to say yes. Yes, Lord, I choose you. If you've not made that prayer and you've not given your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask that you just lift, you look at me, raise your hand, and just say, I want to follow Jesus. You don't have to say it, but just raise your hand. You're saying, I am choosing to follow Jesus from this day forward. Just go ahead, look at me, raise your hand. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. So I'm going to ask that we all say this prayer together out loud. And what we are inviting as we say this prayer is we are inviting the Lord. And we're saying, Jesus, have your way in my heart. Have your way in my life. You've created me for a purpose, and that is to have life with you forever. And so, Lord, I give my life to you because you first gave your life to me, for me. So let's just say this. Repeat this in a voice loud enough for the person next to you to hear. But let's say this together out loud. Ready? Go. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I give you my whole heart. I fully surrender. I don't look to the world anymore, but I look to you, Jesus, because you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. You are my only hope, and your promise is secure. That because I confess my sin and give my life to you and put my trust in you, that I am born again, that the old has passed, and that all things are new. And now I am born again. Lord Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth, that you lived a perfect life, that you died on the cross, that you were raised to life, and you have defeated death. And because you were raised to life, you are raising me up with you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my all. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, Scripture says that when someone gives their life to the Lord, all of heaven rejoices. I want us to actually recognize the gravity of the decisions that were made today. That though we were lost and were destined to spend eternity apart from him, what did Jesus do? He pulled us up and out and brought us into new life. Amen. So can we thank the Lord one more time? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we love you guys. If you need prayer, we are going to have people available to pray with you. We prayed for healing over Lori. If you have sickness or pain in your body, we want to pray over you. Or if there's just something that that is weighing on your heart, we would love to just come into agreement and pray with you. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. We love you, and we'll see you guys next week. God bless.